Blog Talk Radio.
When your name is called, the doubt is wrong. But you're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me. And help my unbelief, so I can tell all my friends that you have won again.
Somebody ought to give a glory.
begin to run. Hallelujah. My glory. Hallelujah. Oh, man.
For your word, because your power is in your word. I think most of y'all know that. The power is in the word of God. It's according to his power that worketh in us. Are you letting his power work in you? It's according to his power. So when we say, let your power fall, Father God, we want you to know we're talking about your power. Not our power, but your power. It ain't nothing like the power of God. Don't get me to preaching up in here. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation to every one that believes. Hallelujah. You get the power through believing. Hallelujah. You don't have to be ashamed. It's the gospel of Christ. It's where the power at, man. Listen to me. Power of God. Not man's power, but God's power. Paul said, wherefore I have made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me effectually by his power. I wish I had a witness here. The intent that I now understand these principles and powers in heaven places must be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. It's the power of God. You're saved today. It was the power of God that went through all of that to save you. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're happy to have each and every one of you on. We're happy that you're part of this broadcast today. We want to take a moment. We want to continue to pray for those that have asked for prayer. We want to continue to acknowledge the word of God has to be bigger than everything or anything for that concern and everything. Let me be clear here, Father God. So we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, first of all, Father God, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that teaches us who we are and what we are. It is in your word, Father God, that we learn that we are your children. Nobody have to tell us. We know because we read it. We read what you wrote about us, what you passed down about us. I thank you for it. I thank you for your word, Father God, because it is in your word that we have guidance. It is in your word that we have direction. So I thank you, Father God, for your wisdom, because it's in your word, Father God, that we are learned and taught wisdom through your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, for hearing our prayer today. We pray, Father God, for Pastor Bill. We lift her before you right now. And we know that there's great things that's happening in your word, Father God. We know what your word says, that by your stripes we are healed. So, Father God, we are healed by your word today. And we just word in and around Pastor Bill present wherever she's at. I thank you, Father God, that she will receive that word and she will continue to walk in your divine healing and your divine purpose. I thank you, Father God, that whatever we ask, we receive it. I thank you, Father God, that she is healed. Not going to be, she is healed. I just thank you she'll start walking in that stuff, Father God. I thank you for it. Honor you for it. Glorify you for it. Then, Father God, we ask you to let this word that's going to go forth today to sink deeper than someone's heart and in their spirit that they may hear and believe. Now, we ask these and all blessings. We ask for traveling grace for those that have asked us to pray for traveling grace. We pray for those that have put themselves in oneness with your word. And therefore, Father God, it is so. And everybody agreed with this prayer. They said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, let me begin by saying that I am so thankful on Monday. Pastor's helping us out. I thank God for on Tuesday, Pastor helped us out. And I think it was pretty much on Wednesday, but Pastor just did the whole thing. Hallelujah. So I thank God for that. She had quite a bit to say on Wednesday. And we, if she's able, she'll comment on some of those things. And if not, we would take the honor of doing so. So right now, we want to get started with Monday. We let people know, or let everyone know, pretty much, that the message was the Word of God was to be the final authority. And then we also, Pastor brought out 1 Peter 2 and 9 from Sunday. So as we journeyed back, we picked up 1 Peter 2 and 9, and it reads like this, if I can find it. Hello, 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 hello. Okay. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And ever know that you have been chosen to be part of a royal priesthood. That's sort of like a kingship, like none other. It go beyond the regularly, if you will. We're into the major stuff, the big stuff for some people that may not understand what we're talking about. Maybe you'll understand it that way. You know, there used to be an old term, the big dog. That means you set up a little higher. So when you're part of the royal priesthood, you're one of the big dogs, if that makes sense to you. But we praise God for that because the point is you have to have this knowledge of who you are. And in order for that to happen, you have to study the Word of God for yourself. And I want to say this, brothers and sisters, God expects for you to know. Because if you can know, then you can believe. And so we talked a little bit about Ephesians 2. And part of Ephesians 2 is that we were made, and I'll just go there now, because over in Ephesians 2, y'all bear along with me here for a second. I want to read it correctly. And well, let me do 2 Peter first, because we did 1 Peter. We didn't do 2 Peter. And that was a scripture that we're trying to go in some kind of order for those that may have kept notes. In 2 Peter 1:4, I believe, when you couple that with the fact that you are part of a royal priesthood, know that 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly and great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of a divine nature. That's that nature, that royal priesthood, that nature, that royal priesthood, which is being part of the Word of God. Because having this divine nature in you will allow you to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah. So we received that, and we thank God for that. How did this all happen, you ask? Well, we will have to go over here to Ephesians. I believe it's 2. Now, I don't know if we're going to start the 10th verse or not, but Ephesians 2. Well, you got to know Ephesians 2 and 1 says, you have he quickened it. He made us alive, our spirit man alive, who were yet in their trespassing or in their sins, while we were yet in our sins. We were dead to the truth. We were asleep to true knowledge. And how did that all happen? The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. This was a God thing. Somebody ought to say a God thing. This is a God thing. Unless you really have this experience, you're not going to know it. You're not going to appreciate it. You're not going to understand because it's a God thing, okay? I had shared with the people about America, and recall today a little bit, but I don't think the Lord will lead me to go there today. But I will say, God want us into his word. And the reason he want us into his word is so that we will know at such a time as this what the Word of God is really saying in today's, and stop being religious and become more of a believer. Over in Romans 10, and we dealt with a lot of in Romans 10, and we may touch on some things. But one of the scriptures that we had from that lesson on Monday is from Romans 10:4. And then I'll tell you how we got there. 10:4 reads like this. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law. Why? Because Christ fulfilled the law, meaning the teachings of Moses. So everyone who wanted to could walk by faith now. You didn't have to walk by a dead letter. You could walk by a living word and get God's approval. God put an end to a lot, Christ put an end to a lot of that law stuff. He put an end to it where we can believe freely according to the word of God. And the reason that had to be done, because the Bible says until this gospel of the kingdom shall have been preached unto all the world, then shall the end come. The end was not to come until this gospel be preached unto all the end, all the world. Matthew 24:14. Tell you what, I'll go and read that. Bless God. Matthew 24:14. It says in verses 14, says, and this God's kingdom shall have been preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. There ain't nothing happening. I don't care what it feel like, ain't nothing happening until this gospel that I've been preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end gonna come. So until this gospel I've been preached into all the world, to all nations, the end will not be here. I know sometimes people want things to end and want things to change. Sorry. The Bible says until this gospel of the kingdom gospel is like no other gospel. There's a difference between the kingdom gospel and some of the gospels that we hear today. Some of the gospel that we hear today is predicated on religion and not the kingdom of God. The kingdom gospel is a little different than a lot of gospel, because the kingdom gospel, according to Romans 14:17, the kingdom gospel is not meat and it's not drink, but it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom gospel is about. I don't know if you're preaching the kingdom of gospel or not. It might be something you might want to check. You may want to take an inventory and see, are you preaching the kingdom gospel? You're not preaching about God's righteousness, how he does things, how he operates. You're not preaching the kingdom gospel. Need I tell you how important it is to preach the kingdom gospel? Because until the kingdom gospel is preached, there will be no end. And the kingdom gospel is God's righteousness, not man's righteousness. Because, you know, Romans 10 said man have their own gospel. They've gone about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Remember he said, for Christ is the end of the law, for the God kind of righteousness to everyone that believes. He said Moses described the righteousness which of the law, that the man would judge those things shall live by them. He said, but the righteousness which is of faith, that's what we're about, speak on this wise. Say not in your heart. That's not that 4x4. You're talking about your spirit, man. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into the heavens, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what says it? The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, they shall be saved. Then he asked the question, for is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not with your mind, not with what you feel. It is with your heart, with your spirit, man. You have to believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, salvation is made unto, and your confession is made unto salvation. Excuse me. But the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. But there is no difference between the Greeks, the Jews, and the Greeks. Excuse me. The difference between the Jews and the Greeks. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, he asked, how should they call on him in whom they have not? Now let me say that again, because everybody get this, who have not believed. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And then how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And is it written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the glad tidings of peace and bring glad tidings of good things? But you have not all obeyed the scripture, and all have obeyed the gospel. For Christ, for Isaiah said unto the Lord, who shall and who have delivered us out of this? Let me go back and get that. I'm going to read what it says. It says the 16th verse, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're going to believe, you need to hear the word of God. You need to go ahead on and make the word of God the final authority. And so those are the things she pretty much spoke on. And also, on Tuesday, Pastor Bell hit us with the little John 3:16. And also 1 Corinthians 13. Pastor hit us with John 3:16. I want to go ahead and say it was 17 as well. But it says, for God so loved. And I used to tell people, you got to have that so love. Man, it ain't nothing like having show love. Show love is like no other love. Because when you operate on the show love, that's what it is. It's like, so? So? Who cares if you're a sinner? So? Who cares if you've been a drunk? Right, it didn't matter to God what sin had did in your life, the part it played. Didn't matter. So? God doesn't care. When you say so, somebody get hurt. You don't care what the color of their skin or what church they belong to or what group they belong to. The love of God is so. That's the kind of love God has is so. So I don't care if you're white, I don't care if you're black. He needs deliverance. He needs healing. He needs salvation. Jesus did not come to save black folks. I don't know where people get that myth. I don't know why people think Jesus just came to save white folks. God did not send his son to save color of skin. Hear me, dear loved ones. That is not what he did. And so I thought Pastor brought that out pretty good, understanding that, when you understand that like that, that he came to save souls. God loved us so. Well, I'll quote, I'll read what Pastor wrote, I read. In John 3:16, Pastor read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That, to me, brother and sister, is a down payment on eternal life. That once you leave here, there's a ticket over there on the other side that says that you are welcome. You have eternal life. Let her in. Let him in. Let them come, because here's the ticket. They believe. They believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. They believe that. So that's their ticket, because they believe. She read another version of that. I want to say it might have been, I'm not sure what version it is, but she read another version. I think he said God did not send his son into the world to say it is guilty. He sent his son into the world they might be saved from the punishment of sin. I love it. I love the fact that, man, I know why he sent his son, so he could take care of it for us. That's why he sent him. For this is how God loved us. He loved the world, and he gave his only one son. The only one son he had. He only had one. He gave it to show that he loved us. And she used a couple other scriptures. To go along with that, I think it was 1 John 4. We continue to pray for her, her total healing. I'm sure one day, maybe even as early as today, she'll be back with us. But she did say that in 1 John, let me see if I find that, 1 John 4, in verses 7. Now remember, we're talking about a love thing. I've been telling people here lately, it's a love thing. Boy, if you don't understand the love thing, you ain't there yet. He said, beloved, let us love one another. For the love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And she also mentioned that there was so much different scriptures, so many different scriptures about love in 1 John, just talking about the love of God. The 8th verse is, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Woo! That's just so, man, I don't care what version of love you have. If you do not have the God kind of love, you don't even know God. And I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how well you could verse in love. If you do not have the God kind of love, you do not have God. And it went on through there with just all kinds of scriptures that she was talking about the God kind of love. She said in this way was manifest the love of God. You know how the love of God came toward us? You want to know that? He said, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. It has been designed, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that in this new way of love, in this new order of love, that it must be done through the new creation. And then y'all know I had to add my little 2 cents, and I brought up St. John, I think it was 13:33-34. Might have been 13:34-35. I had to add my little bit because this is the God kind of love right here. Scientists can't reproduce this kind. Nobody can reproduce this but God. He said it's a new kind, so it's different than any other kind you've experienced. This new love, he says, it's a new order that you get this here. He says, and I'm going to give it to you. Why? That ye can love one another. See, we can start loving one another with the God kind of love. Well, what is that? So? Well, she stole my money. So, who cares? Still love her. See? So we've been introduced to this kind. It wasn't the Moses kind of love, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. No. We're in a whole new kind of loving. The love that we have is of the Father. And Jesus said that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He said, now if you do this, or by this, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If you love one another, if you operate in the God kind of love, folks don't know it. They don't know where you from. They don't know what you operate in. They may not understand it. They may not get it, but we are to love like this, like Christ love. And folks will say you can't do it, that because they're lazy. I'm going to say they don't want to get in there and love like God say they love. They lazy. They don't want this good stuff. But God requires, you got too much pride. You got to let it go. Because you got to start loving the God kind of love. The God kind of love says so. It's just a so thing. It's a God thing. It's like, so I don't care. God didn't care about what I had done. But I went through. God didn't care about all that crazy stuff. He says, you know, I'm still going to love you. Man, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? God loved us through all of our mess, through all of our junk. And if you don't have no junk in your trunk, then you need to hurry up and get saved before you get some. But we've all had some experience. And God didn't tell you to go and pack it up and come to me. He said, come just as you are. And then he tells us that we are to love like he loved. Can't play with it no longer now. You don't have no more excuse. You have to love like he loved. And to love God is to love his word. To love like him, how we do that? To love his word. Let me tell you how much God loved his word. Did I tell you that? Let me tell you guys about how much God really loved his word. See, this is new love that we should have. To love like God. If we love like God love, I promise you, if you love like God love, you're going to have this to go along with your repertoire. If you love like God love, Mark 13 and 31 is going to be part of your lifestyle. Well, what that mean, Pastor? I'm glad you asked me. I'll tell you what that means. Matter of fact, I'll do one better than that and tell you what he says. He says, in the 31st verse, heaven and earth shall pass away, but now my word shall never pass away. See, you got to love the word of God, just like God loved his word. He loved his word. He loved his word. Believe me. And if you have a love for word, for God's word, then you got a love for God. Because if you don't love the word, then you don't love God. And you can tell him I told you that. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. So that's the way it is. You got to love God. Because by this you'll know that all men are your disciples because you love the word of God. Get a love for the word of God. So, that was pretty much, well, Pastor Bell, she also talked a little bit about on Wednesday, Romans 10, 8 through 17. I think she went over there to Romans 8, which is good. She went over there to Romans 8 and 17, but she finally, Romans 8 and 8. Well, just for those that may not know what happened, I'm going to share this with you. She went to Romans 8 and 8. Now, we were supposed to have been going to Romans 10 and 8. But Romans 8 and 8 had a word for somebody. So since you may have missed that, I'm going to read that for you today. And you don't have to say thank you. You don't have to do that. In Romans 8 and 8, See, this was the word that she had gave on her way to Romans 10. It says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't know, that may be for you or whoever. But if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. Mm-hmm. Because the ninth verse says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so then, that the spirit of Christ dwell in you. And then she put a little emphasis on the word if. So if that the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. No worries. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, don't worry. You're not part of him. And if Christ be in you, then your body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Well, I thought that was so awesome. But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus that now from the dead, if that lives in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit. He's going to make it alive. He's going to make you alive. If that spirit of Christ lives in you. And then finally, Pastor Bell, bless her heart, went right to Romans 10. Never missed a beat. Never missed a beat. went to Romans 10 and 8 and said, but what says it? The word. And I like to put emphasis on that. The word of God. The word of God is right near you. Boy, it's right. It's right there for you. Even in your mouth and in thine heart, the word of faith, which is we preach. Now, let me be clear here. When he says heart, he's not talking about that four before, talking about your spirit, man. A lot of times people want to have that word heart in their mind and in their flesh. But remember, this ain't no flesh thing. This is about your spirit. So, and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, you know, that spirit man, if you believe in your heart, in your spirit, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For it's with that spirit man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, bless God. Then he says, the scripture says this stuff. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord, overall, he's rich unto all that are called upon him. They got to make that call. Don't make the call. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And this is that part when she was explaining to us that it's necessary to know him. And this is how you get to know him. Not like him, but you got to know him. You got to know him. And if you're going to know him, you got to call on him. But then you ask, how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? We heard about him. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then how shall they preach except they be sent? As is it written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they said, not all have obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, whom have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're trying to get somebody to believe, if you're trying to get somebody to know and understand the things of God, you're going to have to take the word of God, face value, and believe it. Believe that God had the power to actually raise Christ from the dead. And if you do that, power will fall on you. I promise you. Your spirit man will come alive like none other. And that was pretty much what day was that? Was that? Yeah, that was Wednesday. Yeah, because it was Thursday that Pastor read from the Messenger Bible, Ephesians 2:7-13. I have some other notes here. And, okay, well, Thursday, Evangelist Renee did the Psalms. And we tinkled around with that psalm there. Uh-oh. Let me go back and get it. We tinkled around with the psalm because we really thought at first it was Psalms 39. And after we all played around with it and tinkled with it and did our little research, we really found out that it was Psalms 139. And in Psalms 139, And I want to say it was verse 24. And y'all help me if I'm in error. Psalms 139 and verse, I guess I get to it here in a moment. 139 and verse 24. Okay, it reads like this. But now she read it out of a different version. So I'm going to read it out of the King James Version just for clarity. It says, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then I looked at that thing. Well, let me go back to, that was 24. Let me go back to 23, because it said, search me, O God, and know my heart, know my spirit. Know me, not the flesh, not my mind, but know my heart, know my spirit, man. And then he said, try me and know my thoughts. Now God, then you do two things here. I'm letting you try my spirit, man, and then I'm asking you to take a look at the thoughts. Take a look at what's in my head. Because I know sometimes my mouth will say one thing, and I'm feeling one thing. So I want you to know my spirit, and I want you to know my thoughts. Because, you know, sometimes folks, they'll say one thing, but they're thinking something else. And, I mean, that's for people who are there. Well, that person, they don't know my thoughts. So what the writer says here is, Lord, I want you to search all of me. Don't leave nothing out. Search every bit of me. You know why? Because, I mean, I hate to think that anything wrong in me. Lord, I don't want to come to you like that. I ain't trying to handle you like that, Lord. I'm trying to come to you correct. So in doing that, I want you to search me, God, and know my heart, know my spirit. Try me. I ain't trying to do nothing slick, you know. I ain't trying to be like that. I ain't trying to get nothing over on you, Lord. I want you to search me. Know what's in my heart. Know what's in my head. I want you to know this stuff, Lord. And once you know this, see if there be anything wicked in me. And see if my ways are like that. And if he is, Lord, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lead me in the way of everlasting life. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, the way you be led into everlasting life is through Christ. That goes back to that love that Pastor made mention of. You want everlasting life, you got to believe. You got to believe for it. You got to believe for Christ. You got to have the love of God. All those things make up your eternal life, your everlasting life. And let's be honest, brothers and sisters. That's the path you want to take. Come on now. You done spent these many years here. You know you ain't going to stay here. Now, I hope you know that. I hope the devil ain't lied to you and got you thinking because you made it through the day that you're going to be here tomorrow and beyond. I hope you ain't believing that lie. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day, but believe me, brothers and sisters. Yeah, you made it through yesterday and you might have made it through today, but, you know, you only been promised 3 scores and 10. I had to put... check somebody on that. Well, God didn't promise us tomorrow. That's a lie. He did promise you. He promised you 3 scores and 10. That's the promise. Now, if you want to believe that, if you don't want to believe that, you can believe that he didn't give you that. I mean, because sometimes folks, you know, they'll say stuff and not really understanding what they say. But I'm telling you, you've been promised 3 scores and 10. That means God will promise you 70 years by reason of health and strength. So if you made it to 70, praise God, you got the promise. You got the promise. If you don't, and if you haven't made it to 7, hang in there and telling God you believe in him for the promise. The promise is 70 years, 3 scores and 10. And don't let folks fool you. Don't go along with what people are saying. You have been promised tomorrow. If you haven't made it to 70, now if you made it to 70, you're probably right. You done got your promise. You need to be rolling with it, thanking him for it. And all the other stuff don't matter because he done gave you what he promised you. And then last time I checked, 1 Thessalonians 5, 10, so we're giving thanks for everything. Yeah. And not what he haven't done, it's what he've already did. He already promised you 70. Now, he's promising us eternal life. The path. Let me go here and see if we got anybody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we got a few minutes left here. If anyone like to, because I was going to get into Friday, but I'm going to leave it right there. Thursday lesson. Anyone have any comments? I'm opening up the whole studio. The whole studio open up now. Anybody have any comments? Anything they want to share? Leaving it right there. Anything. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for everything, the word, the review. And I thank God for his word, and I thank God for the prayers. And God is answering prayer. Amen. I'm feeling better day by day. So I ain't gonna do too much. Amen. So my voice be going in and out, but I thank God. So I want to get that in there right now. But I still have my voice.
It's not strong right now. It's out strong. Keep on, Pastor. Keep on. Yes.
Praise God. Thank you. Amen. God bless.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anyone else? Any other kind? Anybody else like to comment? Look at Pastor. That sick bed couldn't hold. That's funny to me. The devil thought he had her. Woo! Praise God. I thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Well, there again, we truly thank each and every one of y'all. I ask you to continue on praying for everyone on a speedy recovery. Hey, stay blessed, man. We'll see y'all on tomorrow for the word at noon. Do your research. I guarantee you my research better than yours. Because you know what? I'm going to use the word of God every time.